President Biden this week asked New York's Governor Andrew Cuomo to resign after that state's attorney general released a report that detailed how he sexually harassed 11 women. On Friday, one of those women filed a criminal complaint with the Albany County Sheriff's Department. We're joined now by NPR senior editor and correspondent Ron Elving. Ron, thanks so much for being with us.
Good to be with you, Scott.
What a remarkable turn in political fortunes.
You know, Scott, many a high-flying political figure has fallen, but few so precipitously as this one. A year ago, Cuomo was seen as a likely presidential candidate someday. Now we see polls showing nearly two-thirds of New Yorkers say he should resign or be impeached immediately. He's either still trying to insist that he's done nothing wrong, or he's insisting that he's been treated unfairly. But it's probably not going to do him any good. His party has turned against him at all levels, and he does need to worry about the chance of actual criminal charges.
Let's turn to the Capitol. I've been asking you about the infrastructure debate since the time of the Peloponnesian Wars. Where do things stand now with the $1 trillion spending package?
Well, every dog must have its day, and every senator must have his or her amendments, so big bills take time. But, Scott, you can officially get excited because at this hour, as we speak, the Senate is voting on cloture, which means they are clearing the big procedural hurdle, and final Senate passage should come in the days just ahead. Now, that said, the bill needs approval in the House, where progressives want to know how it connects to the still larger spending package the Biden folks want to enact through that budget process known as reconciliation. And we'll only say this about that. They want the bigger bill, the progressives do, to have things they regard as missing. And this one possibly including non-budget items like voting rights.
Let us note, 950,000 new jobs were added in July. President Biden took to Twitter to cheer the over 4 million jobs added since he took office. But we also have to note, millions of Americans still struggle to pay the rent. The eviction moratorium expired at the end of July. CDC announced a 60-day extension, but that likely faces legal challenges. Didn't the Biden administration just drop the ball on this?
Short answer, yes. But the White House was not alone in fumbling this one. You have to look at Congress and state and local governments as well. And as you say, the Supreme Court had clearly said the Center for Disease Control lacked the authority to keep extending this ban without an act of Congress. Congressional Democratic leaders did not get that done before the deadline. Then the CDC weighed in with a fresh 60-day ban. That's back to court. Confusion reigns. But, you know, the larger question here is why the states and localities have not distributed but a tiny fraction of the tens of billions of dollars that Congress appropriated for rent relief back in 2020. You get that money into the hands of potential evictees and landlords, you've got a different situation.
Ron, extraordinary fact I encountered this week. I've got to run by you. Why hasn't a single U.S. ambassador been confirmed since the administration was sworn in January?
Well, there have been scarcely any that have even been nominated because the importance of that process, real as it is, has been superseded by domestic needs regarded as more pressing. The White House likes to point to how many federal judges they've confirmed in the first 6 months. That doesn't do much to help the foreign relations picture, but one has to assume they will get around to filling these posts, as presidents have in the past, sooner or later. It matters. It needs to happen. But the Democrats have only the merest majority in the Senate right now, so the now-or-never urgency has been for judges and big-ticket legislation.
NPR's Ron Elving, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Scott.